The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to John B. Cook, editor of Comic Book Creator and Comic Book Artist magazines, and author of a new comic book history titled Swamp Men, Muck Monsters and Their Makers. Stick around. Any book cover that brings together those stinky, ugly, nasty twin towers of the 1970s, Swamp Thing and Man Thing, is a boggy good time to me. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Daily Motion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you prefer to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media Interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of guys who will never accept that Adrian Barbeau was not the real star of the 1982 Swamp Thing movie. In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I can't possibly explain why I loved Marvel's Man-Thing comics of the 1970s so much. The closest I can get would be to say that writer Steve Gerber, creator of the immortal Howard the Duck, had a flair for crazy, and probably leave it at that. And while Marvel had its Man-Thing, DC Comics had its Swamp-Thing, similar to the Naked Eye, perhaps, but completely different in style, execution, and tone. Both characters were once humans whose lives went horribly wrong, but only Swamp-Thing retained enough of his humanity most of the time to think like a man. As for Man-Thing, he operated entirely on emotions. There's that classic line, "Whatever knows fear burns at the Man-Thing's touch." God, I love that. When I heard that my old friend John B. Cook had put together an entire book, Swamp Men, Muck Monsters, and Their Makers, I knew it would be of interest, frankly, to only a narrow audience. But so what? If Cook shares my appreciation of the genre enough to gather interviews with creators, artists, and also representative artwork, who am I to deny him the opportunity to spread the word to the faithful? Cook, incidentally, is the editor of two prominent magazines, Comic Book Artist and Comic Book Maker. He and I first were introduced almost a dozen years ago when we were working on complimentary Will Eisner historical projects. He and his brother Andrew produced the documentary film Will Eisner, Portrait of a Sequential Artist, and I wrote the only authorized Will Eisner biography, Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, which is being re-released, by coincidence, March 25th in a deluxe format for the first time. Hint, hint. John B. Cook, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi. Thanks, Bob. It's good to be here.
Good to see you. It's been a while. We haven't actually been face-to-face in about 10 years. I think it was the Library of Congress in D.C.
I do believe.
Yep. So, John, you know, an entire book about comic book swamp monsters. You, my friend, are an evil genius in my book.
Well, it all really was based on my friend George Corey did a book devoted to Miracle Man called Komoda, which unfortunately is not in print because of rights issues. But I was able to do the layout on it. I designed the cover to it. And it was a wonderful book. It was all about an Alan Moore project and talked to all different sorts of creators. And through that, I was wicked jealous. And I wanted to do my own. And I immediately came up with the idea, why not do a book basically on Alan Moore's Swamp Thing? But I'm a pragmatic man. I know that I didn't really want to go for to get permission to do that. And anyway, I have great respect for, as you mentioned in the beginning, with Steve Gerber's Man Thing. And boy, there have been a lot of swamp monsters. And here you go. I've done a 192-page book. Oh, I could have easily gone to 400.
Oh, it's insane. I mean, hey, listen, there's a chapter on Bog Beast from Atlas. I mean, yeah, how much right. more thorough can you get than to include Tales of Evil starring Bog Beast?
That's right.
Okay, so the really important question, though, is Swamp Thing or Man Thing?
Definitely Swamp Thing.
No.
He's resonant. It's a romance. It's a romance about a monster and a woman. It's just been transcendent. I mean, after all, that's what Alan Moore's version of the character is, and the origin of the character actually was based in a let's say one of the creators was rather forlorn. It was a perfect time. It was a perfect project to work on. To work out his sadness. The argument is, though, which one was it? Was it Len or was it Bernie? Bernie says it was Len, and Len says it was Bernie, and Bernie has finally finally did agree that, well, Len is probably right. It's probably Bernie. So.
All right. Well, on this, I will disagree with you. I was always drawn to Man Thing. I don't even know. It may not even been Man Thing in a story. It may have just been that great logo on the cover of the comics when it started. Kind of wiggly lined logo. It just, I don't know. It always drew me in. And then, of course, you know, Gerber throws in Howard the Duck. I mean, how much weirder can you get? Was this a hard sell to the publisher? I mean, obviously, you know, we both have a relationship with Tomorrow's Publishing. I know that. You've had a far longer one. But was it a tough sell to say, hey, I want to do a book just about swamp monsters?
I can't remember it being at all being a difficult sell. As a matter of fact, it was solicited back in 2006. And I'd worked very hard on it, but other family issues got in the way and wasn't able to get it done. And so it was a harder sell to come back to the publisher and say, listen, I'm really going to get it done this time. And what if I did? I mean, technically, this is an annual of the actual name of my magazine is Comic Book Creator. Mm-hmm. You said Comic Book Maker. But so it's the
sorry.
It's all right. It's number 6. It's the summer annual, which I've changed, of course, to simply the annual because it's it took a lot of work to do. I had hoped to have it out in August, but I just had a lot of writing to do. I wrote an awful lot of the book, so. No, he agreed to it. I mean, you know, you have a powerhouse lineup of interviews, you know, from me and George Corey went to England to visit Alan Moore, spent a day with him to talk about the stories that he did. And I went up to Vermont and talked to Steve Bissett and Rick Veitch, you know, and went out to California to talk to Bernie and Len. So it's got quite a number of really outstanding interviews in it. So.
And you have an interview with Steve Gerber. I can't remember off the top of my head. Is that something – obviously, it was done some time ago. Steve passed a while back. But was that done originally as part of the original project, or was that
– Yes.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he knew what you were up to. I mean, obviously, you just mentioned a lot of the comic book creators who agreed to do interviews for the book. So they seem to take it seriously, right? I mean – They wanted to see this happen.
Oh yeah, especially and the most explicit person to say it was actually Steve Gerber, who said that this was an important endeavor that I was doing, and he was really happy and supportive that I was doing it. So Yeah, I really did appreciate that. And obviously, everyone gave it their time. I spent maybe 12 hours with 12 straight interview hours with Bernie Wrightson over a 2-day period. You know,
goodness.
Of course, for the next issue, the issue that I'm putting to bed right now of Comic Book Creator is the rest of the interview. So,
oh my God, there's more.
More Bernie. Well, his yeah. life, yeah.
Well, you know.
It's not all Swamp Thing.
No. I mean, listen, you get the opportunity to spend that much time with Bernie Wrightson. I can imagine there'd be a lot to ask.
Sure, absolutely.
Outstanding artist there. Was there anyone who said no to you who was just like, oh, come on, I don't want to help you write a book about swamp monsters?
No, but there were some people who said yes, and I wasn't able to get to them. There were some people who said yes, whom I did get to, and I couldn't fit them in the book. And I'm very regretful for that, and I'm going to hopefully be able to have what I'm calling the Swamp Men files to have. I mean, who knows? I mean, I look, you know, I did the Warren Companion. That's sold out, and that's selling for very high prices on eBay right now. Who knows? Maybe this could be a sellout, and I can do an extended edition. So, you know, I did a long interview with Michael Uslan, for instance. You know, about the Swamp Thing movie, and any number of other people. So, pretty much, I had people who really lobbied to be a part of it, and I just couldn't fit them in. So, hopefully, I will eventually.
Where's the Adrian Barbeau interview? That's what the guys here in the audience want to know.
Well, you know, I actually, you know, it's interesting. I had a short conversation. This is Hollywood related, at least, with the character who played Swamp Thing in the movie Con Air. There's a big hulking character actor. And I'm sorry, his name is escaping me right now. But we did have a discussion. I was getting into the absolute minutiae about swamp monsters, and I had to bring it back home. But that was interesting.
So it's possible you can go overboard talking about such things?
Good Lord, yeah, you're right, you know?
All right, well, that seems to make this a good time to ask you another one of those very important questions. The Heap or Bog Beast?
Oh, The Heap. You know? You know, speaking of The Heap was the first real comic book swamp creature, and he came along in 1941. And I have to say that one of the proudest things I have in this book is that all of these characters really derive from a Theodore Sturgeon story called It.
Right.
I'm very happy that his daughter was extremely supportive of it appearing in this book, and actually was insistent upon it. And I'm not going to argue because I've always loved the story. And so we have a full reprinting of that story, fully authorized. And he himself... it's a resonant character, I guess, you know, for a lot of people remember him very well from the Golden Age. I thought he was, I don't mean to insult you, Bob, you know, Man-Thing is more of an observer, as was the Heap, but they didn't really do much action, you know, they were, you know, they're absolutely fun and memorable characters. There's no doubt about it. And certainly visually, you know, Man-Thing is something else, you know. That's quite a look, whatever those tentacles are that come off his face.
All right. You're going to insult my Man Thing. I'm going to have to end this interview now. No, you know, it's interesting. I never read It. I never read Sturgeon's It in prose form. But I saw, you know, the reprint, the cover of the Marvel adaptation of it. And I instantly, boy, that just took me back to being a teenager and all those kind of crazy Marvel monster books that they were publishing, and I missed that stuff. That was so much fun. It was a great time. I just did the interview with Jason Sachs and Keith Dallas for the American Comic Book Chronicles 70s book, and it just seeing those images, and it just really takes me back to. Well, I just thought it was just a great time to grow up and be a teenage boy. You know, those are great comics. So coming back to the creator interviews, did any of them give you any particular insight as to what appealed to them about doing these books other than a steady paycheck? And, you know, did you come away with any particular insight about, you know, why we still want to read these stories?
I think it's like tying it, you know, like Steve Gerber, for instance, wanted to tie it into the stories about the human condition. And I think that it's just simply using a rather odd subgenre of horror comics that is quite resilient. To be able to, again, tell stories of the human condition within those parameters. There's something about them that, I made a very distinct decision in the beginning of the book of what constitutes a swamp monster and what doesn't. And one of them was that the Frankenstein, living dead kind of characters, the ones based on Mary Shelley's, not particularly interested in the rotting flesh, kind of more as maybe zombie-like. But these things that were just born of the swamp just rose out them. Typically, they come from a dead body.
Who's going to hold that against them?
But there is a humanity that seems to be intact on these characters. There's a distant memory in Ted Salas, with Man-Thing, of that he wants to help. You know, he wants to help these young people in the swamp and these absolutely absurd, crazy stories about a clown, you know, that Mike Ploog and Steve Gerber made really classics out of them. I think, I don't know, it's like, it, for instance, you know, when Alan Moore, that was his first American, first job in American comics. One of the revelations he gave to us was that he gave himself months before he had gotten the assignment, gotten the call from editor Len Wein. He had written he had decided to choose the worst character he could think of and to do see how good he could do, you know, do a story based on it, do a background based on it, do an entire story arc that was based on it. Len Wein calls and asks him to be, to work on Swamp Thing. He had done all of this on The Heap. He had declared that The Heap was the worst character in comics. And the Parliament of Trees and all of these aspects that he bought into the Swamp Thing, he had already created. I mean, just go figure. There's something resonant about it. I don't know if I fully figured it out. I think a lot of it has to do with romance, and a lot of it has to do with a yearning for humanity once it's felt lost. But most of all, they're monsters, and they're pretty cool.
There you go. So, yeah. Speaking of monsters, this is a terrible way to segue, but speaking of monsters, speaking of Alan Moore, he has kind of this reputation for being a real hard ass, that he's difficult, he grumbles, and he looks like he could be a swamp monster, right? I mean, you know, I like Alan. I interviewed him for the Eisner book. I'm sure you've spoken to him before too. But I mean, he fits that genre, doesn't he? He looks like the guy who should be writing Swamp Thing.
He's one of the kindest men I've ever known. He's absolutely separated his ego from in many ways. His reputation is that, and that reputation that you just cited is entirely undeserved. He's a creative independent. He is not interested in. I don't really want to. He can speak for Alan. Can speak for himself, but I know him personally to be a wonderful guy. I have to disagree that he's from the Midlands, you know, he's from up north of London, you know, up there in the cool country. Right. He's definitely a working class guy, you know, and he's an absolute artist and a magician as well. Very, very interesting man.
With a reputation for being a bit grumpy. Not, he wasn't when I interviewed him. He was delightful, but he does have that reputation.
I haven't really encountered it. He's certainly a man of opinion.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. He does not suffer fools.
I will take that and run with that. what about? I mean, think about the men that we've been discussing here: Alan Moore, Steve Gerber, Len Wein, Bernie Wrightson, Steve Bissett, other people who are not coming to mind immediately. These are really quality creators who worked on, you know, what some people probably think of as kind of a throwaway comics genre. But But I mean, I suspect that, you know, given the right fee, the right situation, most of them would probably come back to it and do it again.
Yeah, I would think so. And actually, we have, you know, we have pages of a lost Swamp Thing graphic novel that where Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson came back in the 80s post Alan Moore to return to the character themselves. The thing is that Bernie reached a point of finishing up penciling the first issue. I think we feature about maybe a good dozen of those penciled pages. He felt that he could not return to the character again, much to Len's frustration, because it was going to be a four issue miniseries and with a definitive story about going back to the origin of the character. I sincerely doubt that Alan. Alan doesn't go back. He doesn't go back to previous stories. Steve Bissett really doesn't go back either. Rick, I think, possibly could. Steve, I'm sure, had Steve lived. I mean, he returned to the Howard the Duck character rather repeatedly. I think he might have. But there's just some degree of excellence that was within the stories. And certainly somebody we haven't discussed enough is Mike Ploog. I just think he did extraordinary work in Man-Thing. And just a great cartoonist. And that's really where, you know, here I come up with this. Oh, here's a clever idea, you know, to come up with an Alan Moore, to get other creators who work with Alan Moore to do a book and then expand it from there, was simply because the other stuff is so great. I mean, it's just really, really fine stuff. I obviously spent a lot of time with the Bernie Wrightson and Len Wein original issues. And, you know, but the scanning, reading, you know, doing all that. And they hold up very well. You know, I mean, I would still put the Alan Moore stuff at the top of the game, but great stuff, and I miss Steve considerably, both as a human being and plus as a creator. He was just wow, you know, to grow up on that stuff to like you, you know, right? I mean, you know, Don McGregor, him, Steve Englehart, they were knocking it out of the park as far as transcending, making comic book writing transcendent into something else, something different.
Well, and with the likelihood that, Howard the Duck has re-entered the Marvel movie universe and as of Guardians of the Galaxy, I wish he was around to make sure it's done right this time, but, you know, we'll just have to live with whatever they give us, I guess. John, before we kind of wrap it up, I wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about comic book creator, now that I've straightened out on the name. And, you know, tell folks who may not have seen it or have only heard about it what the aim is. I mean, my sense of it, there's a copy of it. You focus on one creator an issue? Is that the general concept?
No, it's a magazine. I have one main feature, cover feature creator on it, but otherwise there are a lot of different features on it. I have a bunch of columnists in it. It's being published quarterly right now some people might remember my old magazine Comic Book Artist, which really was focused on subjects, and we would do really exhaustive looks at Marvel in the 70s, for instance, or DC in the late 60s. And we really would do blanket coverage. This is more just really of a magazine approach. It's just more of just features, not necessarily related to each other, and getting great pleasure out of doing that. But honestly, I love working in comics, and I love making money in the sense of that I would like to make a living out of this. So recently, and this is the first time I'm really announcing it to anyone really in the public realm, I'm starting a new magazine called Ace, A-C-E, with a partner of mine, and we're going to be coming out in March and in previews in the next 2 weeks. We'll be seeing evidence of the first issue. So,
what is ACE?
ACE, it stands for All Comics Evaluated. It is a brainchild of my partner, Robert Yeremian. And it is based on the premise that we can do a monthly magazine, and half of it is a feature magazine, which is my purview, and the other half is a price guide. Having a monthly price guide has not been published in magazine form for, I don't know how long. When did Wizard demise? 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. It's a wide open market, and here we go. So I'm able to work on this full time, and I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I will not stop Comic Book Creator. I'm actually finishing up the Bernie Wrightson issue as we speak. It's going to be 24/7. Yeah, I'm a busy guy.
Sounds like it. Well, it's the kind of thing I know you love to do.
Yeah.
So look, before we go, I've been enjoying the posters behind you. You've got over your left shoulder is Medusa out of the 60s. There's Airboy and a 1940s Captain America, I'm thinking. What other cool things, since we're obviously in your office, what other cool things can you show us from your desk that people might be entertained by?
I can show you what I just got today.
All right.
That's
What is that? Warp.
That's Warp. That's Neil Adams. That's a Neil Adams poster. This is from a play, and this is the playbill. It was on Broadway in the 70s, in 1973, in January 30th, 1973. It, unfortunately, it bombed. But it was quite an ambitious production, and I'm doing a feature article in my magazine where I've talked to the director, Stuart Gordon, who came up with it, and his partner, and Neil Adams. I had an interview with Neil Adams and a whole bunch of people about this wacky, interesting aspect of I'm like you, Bob. The 70s are everything. I really think that they're resonant. I really think that there is really high quality material that came out in those days. And you ain't going to dread yet. I love contemporary comics, to be very honest with you, but I have a very soft spot for this stuff. So
contemporary comics are fine, but they're too damn expensive. If I can't buy a stack of them for $5, I don't want anything to do with them. You know what I mean? It's just too much money.
It's all relative.
I know. Well, listen, John, folks, listen, you can find Swamp Man, Muck Monsters and Their Makers, as well as the latest issues of Comic Book Creator, of course, in great bookstores everywhere, great comic book stores everywhere, or you can order them right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you've watched the show before, if you haven't, if you're watching us on MRMedia.com, either below this video to the left or to the right, or the right or to the left, depending on how you're looking at it, you'll see the cover of Swamp Man, and probably below that you'll see the cover of Comic Book Creator. You can click on it right now. It will take you to Amazon. You can order a copy. They can get it to you in 30 minutes or less via drone, or if you don't want to pay for drone, you can have it delivered in a day or two. And I believe, are these available as e-books as well?
Well, in PDF form. My publisher will have it set up as thus.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. For that, you'd need to go to tomorrows.com, I guess?
That's correct.
Very good. And John, website for you, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff?
I'm on Facebook right now. We're getting the social media presence for Ace. We're getting that set up by the end of this month. So by New Year's Eve is D-Day for us, because that's when the previews hits for Ace number one. And a quick shout out to Frank Cho for doing a fabulous cover for Swamp Man. So
I would love a poster of that cover. I think that would be awesome.
That'll be Frank's department.
All right. Yeah. Frank, call me. Let's talk. I'd love to have that as a poster. I think that'd look great right behind me right here. Well, anyway, John B. Cook, my friend, thank you so much for this great book, and thanks for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you, Bob. I had a great time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good to see you.
All right. Take care.
Turn up the stereo receiver. Hi, Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at BuzzBurbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Chirac guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, their reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Melser crying about the O's again.
Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. These are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot.
Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.